not to muck around. They've got this thing so fouled up. It just breaks my heart. Young people, hang in there for us, will you? Just hang in there. Say, no. Listen, let me talk to you young ladies. When some guy goes after you, and they will, even Christian guys, you know what you do? You say, look, Buster. That's what you say. Look, Buster. I'm not that type of gal. And I'll tell you something. His respect for you goes up like a shot. That's the type of women we need in this world. And then, please, treat young ladies with some respect. Hold that sex for marriage. I just plead with our whole generation. We've got this thing all fouled up in this country. It's so sad. We're just seeing shipwreck all over the place. We don't need that. We don't need that. So forgive me for being so frank, but it's right there, the sinful desires of the heart. And it gets more graphic here. You talk about XXX literature, read your Bible. Let me read. This is sin. Look at the second one. Verse 26. Because of this, God gave them over. See, he lets them go. He doesn't, he sends them. No, he lets them go to shameful lust. Listen to this. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women, were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men, received for themselves the due penalty for their perversion. You see what the Bible says? He doesn't mumble. All this talk about gay rights, for heaven's sake, the Bible says it's wrong. It's sin. I hope this is recorded. I hope they put me in jail for this thing. I mean it. We've got to speak clearly. That is not right. Homosexuality is dead wrong. It's sin. And God lays it out here so clear. He doesn't mess around. I can remember when I was a kid, we'd never read this in public because it's so clear. But today, I think it's high time we read what God says. And he doesn't mumble. He says it's dead wrong. So, now, the third time, watch this. Verse 28. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over. He let them go to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. And you can read that whole passage all the way down to the end. And then look what it says. There's a whole list of sin. And it says, although they know God's righteousness. There it is, that konosed again. Verse 32. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. See what they're doing? They're just promoting this thing. Now, did you catch that? You have it in your notes, I think, don't you? Sinful desires of the heart, shameful lusts of the soul, depraved thoughts of the mind. Did you catch that? Three strikes. Listen, what is the what's the great commandment? Can someone help me here? Thou shalt love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. Three strikes, you're out. They've turned their back on God, so what does God do? Listen carefully. He does not send them to hell. He lets them go to their own damnation. We have a just, gracious, wonderful God. He's revealed himself. They've rejected the truth. They've turned to idolatry. He lets them go to eternal damnation. So, please recognize, listen, God is just. He's holy. He's gracious. He's merciful. He's provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you have to put your trust in Christ. Okay, we've got 20 minutes here for questions, comments, ample time. I hope this is helpful. I really feel this with all of my heart. We have to know the answer to that question. And don't let people say, you mean to tell me God's going to send people to hell because they've rejected a message they've never heard? No, explain it. They have heard the message. They've rejected that message. And because of the rejection of that message, God doesn't send them to hell. He lets them go to eternal damnation. They're condemned already, apart from Jesus. There is an answer, biblical answer. I hope this helps. Surely satisfied me because I couldn't handle this before. I said, what kind of a God do I have? I have a gracious God. Okay, questions, comments, anything you'd like to add here? Fire away. It's all yours. You're a great bunch, I tell you. And you young people in here, I love it. How old are you? You're eight.
percent.
Gem.
She's a gem. Do your sisters ever get into your stuff? They don't. Do you ever get into their stuff?
We'll move on.
Okay.
No, seriously, comments, questions, anything that you might have.
Okay, this man is worshiping this rock. He finally listens to his conscience and he's convicted and he knows this is not God. All
right. Then what happens?
And he understands from his conscience there's a greater being and there's a greater being in creation. Did he say?
Oh, I love it. I love it. Listen, you're thinking. I love people like that. Start thinking. Now, wait a minute. What if we respond correctly to the limited revelation? Is he saved? No. But let me tell you what I think will happen. Got a case in the Bible. Cornelius was a man who was living upright. Realized something's wrong. Remember Cornelius in the Bible in Acts? What did God do? Got Peter down there in Joppa to have a vision. Remember that? It's about time to eat. Remember the story? And a sheep comes out three times. Why three times, by the way? Don't tell me Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's too righteous. No, I think it's just bong, bong, bong. I think I got it. I think I got the message. Yeah. God says, don't you call unclean what I don't call unclean. And it's at that moment that guys are knocking at the door. Saying, hey, Cornelius has sent us down here. Would you come with us? And they're Gentiles. Gentiles. Remember, Jewish people didn't think much of Gentiles. In fact, Samaritans, they really hated. Remember that story when Jesus had to go through Samaria? They would spit when they said the name Samaritan. Samaritan. Yuck. These are Gentiles. But God had prepared Peter. He got the message. And he went with them. Remember the story? He got to Cornelius' house. They're all there waiting. And I love Peter's statement. He said, look, I'm not even supposed to be in this house. I'm a Jew. I love his honesty. I don't even belong here, but God has sent me here. And he explained to them the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they all responded and were baptized. I love that story. I happen to believe that if my little man out there in the middle of nowhere suddenly realized, wait a minute, this rock is just not cutting it. There's got to be something bigger than this. Whoever you are, wherever you are, God, somehow, help me. I happen to believe that's when a church like this suddenly sends out a missionary and gets there right on time to reach them with the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my conviction. Yes, go ahead.
It's like when Paul was thinking of people that had the statues on their front.
That's another one.
And I know a missionary that was the God saying, from Germany all the way to the city, who was now going
to listen to that.
To a man in the mountains.
In the mountains, yeah.
To answer his question.
I really believe that. And I think we take way too much credit for what we have done. Yeah, look what we did. We got that guy out there in the mission. Said, see what I did? Man, you see this? Wow. In fact, you've got an example right here. Can I use that, David? Roger, will you give me permission to use your story? Or maybe you want to tell me. When David came by at the opportune moment, I think that was of God. Some of you know this story? Would you be willing to relate that? Tell us what happened. This is touching. I just heard this morning. This is another example of God working. Roger, you want me to tell it? As best I can. I can't tell if I did tell it. The morning his wife died, get this now.
David just happened to walk.
Just happened.
As they were, as the paramedics were removing her, and she died in terror. The grave, the church.
Do you feel this happened by? David knows very well that somehow God put her there at that moment when they're taking his dear wife's body on him. You couldn't time it, could you? And here Roger is today, a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish you could feel that more. Just rejoice. Thank God. Praise God.
write you a lesson to my heart. Just hear the next story. I'm trying to think. And then you hear this one from Germany, all the way up to who knows where. Where was this place?
It's home.
Never heard of it.
Black Kingdom in the middle of South Africa.
In the middle of South Africa. And got up there, and sure enough, there's a man waiting. And I think that, I tried to answer your question. I really believe that's what happened. Somehow, God will give the message of salvation to that person so that they can't respond to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you had a question, thanks.
No, I was going to add, some years ago, we saw a movie, it's a book also called The Peace Child.
Yes, David, Don Richardson.
And it was these people had special revelation from God, evidently, and they built a church.
Yep.
And they waited for God to send someone. So when the missionaries came, they were ready.
That's right. Where have you been? We've been waiting for you. Here's our church. Now tell us what we're supposed to do. I just get so excited about the stories. And you've got to see the gracious, wonderful, loving God at work. What if a missionary doesn't get to some of these places? Let's take the Muslim world. What's happening in the Muslim world? I have never experienced what they have experienced. Some of your, what is it? Dreams. And visions, that doesn't happen to be part of my experience. But I've talked to Muslim people who now know the Lord, who said, oh yeah, I had a dream of Jesus. And in most cases, though, that somehow, through literature or through some missionary, follow up, they put their trust in Christ. So I really believe God is a wonderful, gracious God, and if somehow man begins to respond wherever he is, God will make sure they get the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes?
It says there, therefore God gave them over to the lust of their hearts and
yeah.
the purity of their bodies.
Yeah.
I have no doubt that I'm a child of God.
Yes.
And forgiven. Now, I still struggle with these things.
Oh, of course.
What's the difference between me and the lost?
Oh, man, you're saved and they're lost. That's why I asked the question, they're lost. Eternally. See, once we come to Christ, we have been changed. And please listen. It's right there in the book of Romans. Romans 6. You don't have to sin. Remember I said there's no free will? We're either slaves to Satan and sin, or we're servants, slaves to God, and we don't have to sin. Once we come to know Christ, we do. And don't go around saying, I've never sinned. I don't sin anymore. You're a liar. I can tell that right away. No, we all sin, but we don't have to. See, there's the difference. And furthermore, positionally, I love this. Old Raimundo Galan over in Spain, when he'd come to know Christ, shortly after he came to know Christ, he came to me one day and he said, Ronaldo. That's what they call me in Spanish. Ronaldo. He held up his Bible. He said, I sort of see it this way. God doesn't see me anymore. I'm hidden in Christ. Isn't that great? He'd never been to seminary. He'd never learned about the imputed righteousness. We have fancy words for all this stuff. All he knew was, I'm hidden in Christ. I said, you got it, Raimundo. We're hidden in the perfection of Christ. That's the difference. We're clean before God. We're still sinners. But positionally, we're clean. Isn't that neat? Get excited. Come on. We are.
See, the Bible says, be therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Mormons, you said. See, my daughter, who was down in Bolivia, by the way, as a missionary, came back and says, Dad, I need more Bible. Came back from Santa Cruz, and that's why I'm so concerned about all these friends down in Bolivia. But she got married then after she went to Dallas Seminary. She got her master's degree in biblical studies, and her husband was an auditor for the state of Texas, and he saw all the beauty of all this thing, and he says, man, I want to go to seminary. So he resigned his position, went to seminary, got his degree this last year, and they're out in Utah. Of all places, I told him, man, you've got a tough one. Because he has relatives, many relatives who are Mormons, and he's so concerned about those people. God has touched their hearts to reach Mormon people. Yesterday, they were out in the rain at this big conference they have, you know, when the the prophets speak in the Mormon church and all this stuff. And they're out there trying to reach people for Christ. She said, please pray. She called me yesterday on the drive up to Salt Lake City. At any rate, Mormons always come up with this verse. Be ye therefore perfect. We've got to attain perfection in this life. And of course, they burrow in on that. Well, are you perfect? Well, not yet, but I'm working at it. See, it's crazy for people to try to achieve that. Remember the arrows trying to reach up? Nobody can make that. Nobody. With all the religion in the world, nobody can attain perfection. That's why we need the Lord Jesus Christ. And all right, move ahead. I've got the perfection. We're hidden in Christ. So that's the answer to that one. That you can't achieve that perfection. Can't do it. So pray for my daughter, by the way, Laurie and John, out there. They're living in Santa Quintas, right below Salt Lake City. So I'm trying to reach Mormons. If that isn't a tough job, yes, you've got a good comment here, I'm sure.
The problem is not trying to attain righteousness and be perfect. It is that there is a holy and perfect God who holds us accountable with the righteous judgment.
That's right.
Even if they did attain righteousness, their God is unrighteous by accepting Him, and therefore He's not even God.
Good point. That reflects on the nature of God. I hadn't thought of that. He's the righteous God. He is holy, perfect, and He cannot sin. It's one thing He cannot do. He cannot sin. I would say more, He will not sin. Just, that's not God. I don't think any of us can fully fathom that perfection. That's hard. Any more than I can fathom. How far does space go? You ever think about that? How far does it go? You have an answer. The astronauts have been out there and they reached it. Not yet. They got stuff floating around there. They still don't know how far out it is. I don't know. Is it infinite? I don't think it is, but man, how far does it go? It's just beyond my comprehension. Here's another way to look at it. Total light. So much light, there's not even a shadow anywhere. How light is that? I can't fathom that. And to come into total light, that's God. Light. It just blinds any of us. That's the perfection of God. And you're right. To try to attain that is absolutely absurd. It's a bunch of little human beings like we are. We accept His righteousness. That's what believing Christ is. We put all of our trust in Him because He's the only one that can give us that imputed righteousness. So, anybody like that guy out there, he's just banging around doing no good with all those chickens. That's you for the chickens, right? But, yeah.
Here's a little summary of your whole message this morning.
Good! Yes! Absolutely. Condemned already. Every one of us, here's the biggest question we've got to stop. Maybe this is the question we ought to ask. Not so much about my little guy out there. The question is, what about me? Incredible. By the grace of God, here we are, clean, in Christ, headed toward an eternity with God. I just wish we could get more impressed with that miracle of miracles, that we are in Christ. Somebody, somewhere, somehow, came to us and gave us the message. We responded, and God has given us eternal life. The question is not so much, are the heathen lost? The question is, why did you ever save me? I can't get over it. I keep thinking, what if I'd been born in Turkey? Or born out there in the jungle? Where would I be? We are so blessed, gang. We should be thanking God, praising God constantly. So I just thank God for you. Well, I'd be gone on with this. you're stuck with me for the next hour or two. Where we'll be in the church service to worship the Lord and honor Him. And I trust we'll find a passage that'll be helpful again from the book of Romans. Would you like to review it before we go to the next service? Here we go. Let's get the whole book of Romans. Are you ready? Those who were here last night. 1, 2, 3. That's our problem. 3, 4, 5. Salvation, that's the solution. 6, 7, and 8. 9, 10, 11. 12 to the end. You've got the whole book. God, I thank you again for this time together. And I do pray that you'd help all of us to recognize in a new and fresh way the importance of getting people out to those who are lost. They're desperately lost. So use those that are represented by these displays around this auditorium. Work through them. And because we have prayed today, I pray that they can sense your intervention on their behalf. And I pray that there would be a harvest in services at different time zones right now going on around the world. And that people would be brought to you through your grace and your mercy to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with us now in our break and then in the service to follow, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Hey, thank you.